Hello and welcome back. My name is Avi Heller, and together we're studying the Tractate of Megillah. This series of recordings is a joint project of the OU Synagogue Services Department, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We are at the bottom of Daf Hey Amud Aleph. Today's podcast is the beginning of Hey Amud Bet. That's 5B. We're on the very last line. Second word in from the last line, and this is really the first conversation we're going to have in some ways about the nature of the holiday of Purim. And we kind of back into it in a funny way, but really what we're talking about here is what is the nature of Purim. What we're going to start with by saying is that we're going to have a report from some rabbis that Rabbi Judah the Prince, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, did three things that seem very not religious, kind of surprisingly heterodox. We want to try and understand why would Rebbe do these things that seem so bizarre. So here we go. Bottom of the last line of Hey Amud Aleph. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Elazar said in the name of Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Nata Nitya Bapurim. He went out and planted his crops or a garden. He was doing agricultural work on Purim. Now, if that doesn't seem a little strange to you, it should seem a little strange, because as far as we know, there's no prohibition against planting a plant on Purim. So we're going to discuss that as we go. But this seems like something that he shouldn't have been doing, especially based on the next two things that he does. If we turn the page to Hey Amud Bet, top of the next page, Verachatz bekarona shel tzipori b'shivaser b'tamuz, and he washed in the public square, he took a bath in the public square of Tzipori on the 17th of Tammuz. Now, what's strange about this is not the public bathing, and Tosfot points out that he wasn't actually bathing in the fountain in the middle of the square. It just means that he was doing it in a public way. People could see that he was going to the bathhouse. The problem here isn't the public bathing, it's that it was the 17th of Tammuz, which is a fast day. It's what we call the beginning of the 3 weeks. And it's one of the fast days in the summer associated with the destruction of the temple. How could Rebbe be bathing on the 17th of Tammuz on such a fast day? You would not usually bathe. And the last non-religious seeming thing that Rebbe did is Ubikesh la'akor Tisha B'Av. He tried to get rid of Tisha B'Av. He tried to abolish it. Vilo hodulo, and the other rabbis, did not agree with him. Rashi says specifically this relates to Tisha B'Av, meaning he wanted to get rid of Tisha B'Av, and they didn't agree with him, and clearly he lost that battle because we still have Tisha B'Av. But how is it possible that Rebbe didn't want to have Tisha B'Av? So we're going to explain it in the Gemara in a second, but just on this Hava Mina, just on this assumption that Rebbe wanted to get rid of Tisha B'Av, Tosfos gives two possibilities for the idea that he didn't really want to get rid of it completely, but that he just wanted to modify it. One of the possibilities Tosfos gives is that he just wanted to make it less strict, meaning usually on fast days you don't eat and you don't drink, but you don't have the strictures of not wearing leather shoes, not anointing with oil, not having intimate relations, and he wanted to get rid of those particular stringencies in Tisha B'Av and make it like another fast. So he didn't want to uproot Tisha B'Av, he just wanted to uproot the stringencies of Tisha B'Av. The second possibility, which is kind of an interesting one, is he wanted to move the date. He wanted us to commemorate Tisha B'Av not on the 9th of Av, but on the 10th of Av. And there is such a tradition. We know that the second Beit HaMikdash burned down primarily on the 10th of Tisha B'Av. So there's actually a pretty strong argument to be made that Tisha B'Av ought to be commemorated on the 10th. In fact, we even keep some of the strictures about cutting our hair and bathing until midday on the 10th as a nod to that idea. So Tosfos brings up both those possibilities. The Gemara is going to give a third possibility. We are now in the third line, beginning of the third line. Amar Lifanav, they said before him, Amar Lifanav Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda. Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda said to the rabbi who talked about these three things that Rebbe did, Rebbe lo kachaya maisa. This was not the story that I heard, meaning you've gotten a garbled version of events. Ella, Tisha B'Av shechal lihiyot b'Shabbat hava. This was referring not to Tisha B'Av in general that Rebbe wanted to uproot, but this was a particular Tisha B'Av that happened to fall out on Shabbat. And that makes sense in the context of our sugya. We've been talking about when a fast day falls out on Shabbat, do you push it backwards or do you push it forwards? So this was a case where Tisha B'Av was on Shabbat. U'dechanihu v'dachanihu la'achara Shabbat. And they postponed the fast until Sunday, which is how we do it. V'amar Rebbe, and Rebbe said, Hoil v'nitche yidache. Since it is pushed off, let it just be pushed off. Let's just skip Tisha B'Av this year. That's what he said. When Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbat, Shabbat trumps Tisha B'Av, and then you don't fast on Sunday. That's what he said. V'lo hodu chachamim. And the rabbis didn't agree with him. They said, no, we push off Tisha B'Av, and we'll keep it on Sunday. Maybe there are certain leniencies on a Tisha B'Av that is pushed off, but we're still going to do it. So Rabbi Chanina was very happy to hear this, and he exclaimed, two are always better than one. In other words, thank you so much for clarifying the story. I heard the story and it was very confusing that Rebbe wanted to get rid of Tisha B'Av. And it's always better to have two reports than one report because we can clarify the true nature of what happened. Okay. So just before we go on, I want to just mention the one other thing that Rebbe did, which was that he washed on the 17th of Tammuz. Tosfos discusses this as well, and he points out that at the time when Rebbe lived, the 17th of Tammuz was not yet a clearly established fast day. It is not a Torah fast day. It happens about a historical event, the walls of Jerusalem being breached, in the first Beit HaMikdash, or some other, the Mishnah lists five terrible things that happened on the 17th of Tammuz. But basically, what it came down to is that cities could determine their own minhag, their own custom, whether or not they wanted to keep the 17th of Tammuz, and some cities fasted on that day and some didn't. And at that time, there was no universal custom, and Rebbe wanted the universal custom to be that we wouldn't fast. However, as over time it developed, and it's now been the case for a long, long, long time, that it's become a universal Jewish custom, so that it's become obligatory on all Jewish communities to fast on that day. It was just at this particular time, Rebbe was still lobbying that it should become a custom not to fast on Tisha B'Av, on the 17th of Tammuz. Why he wanted that to be the case would be an interesting side conversation. But he lost that battle as well, and the 17th of Tammuz has become a universal custom. Rebbe did win this third battle. So he was not successful in pushing off Tisha B'Av, and he was not successful in pushing off the 17th of Tammuz, but he did plant on Purim, which now is a permitted thing to do. How did that come to be? Well, the Gemara asks it in a different way. The Gemara is going to ask, how could he plant on Purim? It would seem like that is against the rules of Purim. The Rebbe, I'm now 2, 4, 6, 8 lines down from the top, second word in. The Rebbe, Hechi nata netia bePurim. How could Rebbe have planted saplings on Purim? V'hatane Rav Yosef. Didn't we learn in a Mishnah in the name of Rav Yosef? He's quoting three words from the Megillah. The Megillah describes Purim as a day of simcha, umishte, v'yom tov. We have three terms there. Simcha, meaning joy. Mishte, meaning eating and drinking, mostly drinking. And yom tov, a festival day. So we darshan those three words. Simcha, what does joy mean? Milamit she'asurim behesped. What it means to have a day of joy is that you are not allowed to give a eulogy on that day, meaning funeral customs are curtailed because it's a joyful day. That's what simcha means. Mishta, what does it mean, a day of drinking? Milamit she'asur betanit. It's a day when you have to eat. You have to eat a celebratory meal, so you're not allowed to fast on that day. The Yom Tov, and what does it mean that it's a festival day? Milamet she'asur ba'asiyat melacha. Well, a festival day means you can't do work on it, just like what we call a Yontif day, which is very similar to Shabbat. Most of the things that you can't do on Shabbat, you also can't do on Yom Tov, and if that's the case, so Purim should basically be a Yom Tov. Can you imagine if Purim developed that way? It would be quite different than the Purim we know today. Well, the Gemara gives one answer. This is the first of three answers that the Gemara is going to give. The first approach of the Gemara is that it was not Purim for Rebbe. The reason he was able to plant on that day is that it wasn't his day of Purim. Ella, rather, Rebbe bar Arbesar Hava. Rebbe was a person who celebrated Purim on the 14th, like unwalled cities. V'chinata, and he was planting, not on Purim, but he was planting Bachamesar Nata. He planted on the 15th of Adar. Now, the 15th of Adar is still Shushan Purim. And as Tosfot points out here, we don't say Tachanun on that day. It's kind of like a minor festival. There's a little celebration even for people who don't celebrate on that day. But it wasn't his day of Purim. His day of Purim was the day before, so he could plant on the 15th. Ini, says the Gemara, is that so? The Ha Rebbe b'Tiberia Hava. We know that Rebbe lived in Tiberias. He lived in Tiberia on the Sea of Galilee. The Tiberia is an ancient city. Tiberia mukefet choma mimot Yoshua bin Nun. Tiberia has been surrounded by a wall all the way from the times of Yoshua bin Nun, in which case if Rebbe lived there, he would celebrate Purim on the 15th. Ella Rebbe bar Chamesar Hava. Okay, so we'll swap it around. Rebbe was really a person who kept Purim on the 15th. V'chinata, but when he planted, ba'ar besar Hava, and then he planted on the 14th. So it still wasn't his day of Purim. Okay, so that's the first answer of the Gemara. Now the Gemara just digresses for a second to say, are you sure that Tiberia is old enough to be walled? Umi pshitale, is it so obvious, or is it clear, de Tiberia mukefet choma mimot Yehoshua bin Nun, that Tiberias is a city that's been walled since the time of Joshua the son of Nun. Vaha, but we have a conflicting report, but here, Chizkia kare be Tiberia be arbesar uvachamesar. We have a report that this Rabbi Chizkia read the Megillah in Tiberia both on the 14th and on the 15th. And this is one of the solutions. In a situation where we're not sure whether to celebrate Purim on the 14th or the 15th, this comes up in a Purim Meshulash too, according to some authorities. When you have Purim spread out on Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday, according to some authorities, you read on both the days in which there's a doubt. So in this case, since we're not sure if Tiberia was walled since the days of Yoshua ben Nun, we would read the Megillah on the 14th and the 15th. Misafkale, it was doubtful to him. That's from the root safek. Chizkia had a doubt. I mukefet choma mimot Yoshua ben Nunhi, if it was walled from the times of Yoshua ben Nun, I lo, or if it wasn't, and therefore he read on the 14th and the 15th. So it's not so clear. In this case, and that would reflect back on Rebbe too, if Purim was, we weren't sure if the right day of Purim was the 14th or the 15th, perhaps he shouldn't have planted even on the other day. The Gemara answers though, L'chizkia misafkale. It's true that Chizkia was in doubt about this. L'Rebbe pshitale, but to Rebbe it was clear, meaning they disagreed about the doubt. Chizkia had a doubt. Rebbe said, no, I know that it's been walled since the days of Yoshua, therefore Purim is the 15th, and that's when he kept Purim. Just because it was clear to Rebbe, who said that makes it permissible to plant on the other day? We have a tradition that maybe you shouldn't plant on that day anyway. V'hakativ, doesn't it write in Megillah Tanit? Megillah Tanit is an ancient record of all the fast days or the festival days that were celebrated in ancient Israel. And the day before and after the festival days, you weren't allowed to fast. And there in Megillah Tanit, it says, Et Yom Arba'a Asar, Ve'et Yom Chamisha Asar, both the 14th and the 15th, Yomei Puraya Inun. Yomei are the days of Puraya, Purim, Inun. They are. So the 14th and the 15th are the days of Purim. Delo lemispeid b'hon, and you're not allowed to eulogize on either the 14th or the 15th. In other words, they are both festival days. So just because he knows which day he's supposed to keep Purim, we have this other tradition that both the 14th and the 15th are festival days no matter where you live. That's what we're saying. V'amar Rava said, Lo nitzricha, we didn't need this teaching in Megillah Tanit, ela le'asorot shel zeh b'zeh, except to make what's forbidden on this day forbidden on that day, ve'et shel zeh b'zeh, what's forbidden on that day forbidden on this day. In other words, the point of Megillah Tanit is to say that even if you don't celebrate Purim on the 15th, because you celebrate on the 14th, you should still not eulogize on the 15th, in which case Rebbe should not have planted even on the day that it was not his Purim. But Rebbe has an answer for this. last two words on the line. I'm right across from the Tosfot that begins with the word Devarim at the end of the line. Hani Mile, these words of Megillatanit, Behesped Uvitani. They're talking about eulogizing and fasting. As we saw, you're not allowed to eulogize or to fast on Purim. Aval Milacha, but related to doing work, Yom Echad. They only said you don't have to do work on your day of Purim, Vitulo, and no more. Two means more. So, and more? No, you don't have to do it on any other day. In other words, the only day that you couldn't do planting, according to this answer, would be on your day of Purim. And we still have the problem that we do work on Purim, but we'll get to that. Ini, is this true? V'ha Rav Chazia Lahahu Gavra Dahava Kashade Kitna Bapuria. Okay, this is a disturbing story about Rav. We have a story about Rav. Chazia, he saw Lahahu Gavra, a certain guy, Dahava Kashade Kitna, he was planting flax, Bapuria on Purim, Vilatie, and he cursed him. He got really angry at the guy and he chewed him out. And after he chewed him out, Velot Samach Kitne, his flax didn't grow. So Rav's curse was very effective, and the poor guy's flax that he planted on Purim didn't grow. So what about that story? Like, you know, so the Gemara answers, Hatam Bar Yomei Hava. Well, you know, that's because he was planting flax on Purim. You know, that was his day of Purim. He shouldn't have been doing that. So Rav said to him, basically, you're not going to see any blessing from that work that you're doing against the law on Purim. And in fact, his flax didn't grow. But we have another answer, another way of saying it, which is as follows. Rabba Brei de Rava Amar. Afilu tema biyome, even if you say that it was his day of Purim, hesped vitanit kabilu alaihu, we have a tradition that we have accepted upon ourselves, the Jewish people, not to eulogize and not to fast, kabilu alaihu, they accepted upon themselves, milacha lo kabilu alaihu, but not to do work, the Jewish people never accepted upon themselves. This is answer number two, meaning answer number one was, Rebbe planted on the day that it wasn't his Purim. If he was supposed to keep Purim on the 15th, so he planted crops on the 14th. Now we challenge that. Maybe you shouldn't plant even on the 14th. Both the 14th and the 15th are Purim to somebody. But that was the first answer. Our second answer is no. The Jewish people never accepted upon themselves not to do work on Purim. Oh, now we can take a sigh of relief. That's what we thought because we do work on Purim. We drive in cars. We write. We do all sorts of things on Purim. So what they're saying here is that the Jewish people never accepted upon themselves, certainly not universally, not to do melacha on Purim. And he's going to prove it from the Megillah. We had proved it earlier from the Megillah, but now we're going to prove it the other way. Deme'ikara, this is one of the vocabulary words, from the beginning, ketiv simcha u'mishteh v'yom tov. In the beginning of the Megillah, or earlier in the Megillah, it wrote three things. Simcha, joy, mishteh, eating and drinking, yom tov, festival. V'lebasof, but later on in the Megillah, later on in that chapter, ketiv, it's written in the Megillah, la'asot otam yemei mishteh v'simcha, to make Purim days of drinking and joy. Now it leaves out Yom Tov there. So one sentence says Yom Tov and one sentence doesn't say Yom Tov. As the Gemara says, v'ilu Yom Tov lo k'tiv, doesn't write Yom Tov. So for that reason, we accept that other verse. That other verse says you can't eulogize and you can't fast, but because it doesn't mention Yom Tov, we never accepted upon ourselves not to do malacha on Purim. But we have a problem with our story about Rav. Vela Rav, my taima latye, lahahu gavra. So then why did Rav curse that poor guy who was planting flax on Purim? Like, poor guy. Why did Rav feel so strongly that he had to curse him or, you know, rebuke him? So the Gemara answers, Devarim hamutarim v'acherim nahagu bahem iser hava. It was a matter that was permitted, but a lot of people didn't do it. A lot of people felt that it was usur, meaning a lot of people held the stringency not to do it. And Rav was upset that he was publicly going against the custom of other people in his neighborhood who didn't do that on Purim. So that's why that guy got, you know, he was kind of like going against local custom in a way. But uba'atre de Rebbe, but in the place of Rebbe, lo nahug, it was never a custom not to do that. So Rebbe was not going against any custom, and since it had not been accepted in that community not to do malacha, Rebbe basically did nothing wrong. Okay, so that's two answers. Here's the third answer. V'ibayit ema, I could alternatively argue, la'olam nahug. No, it was a custom not to do malacha on Yom Tov. It was accepted, even in Rebbe's community, that you shouldn't do malacha on Yom Tov. But Rebbe, netiya shel simcha nata. He was not planting his crops. In other words, he wasn't doing agricultural labor, but he was planting like a flower garden. He was doing a kind of a planting that you do for happiness, for aesthetics, not for sustenance. Kiditnan, as we learn in a Mishnah, we're learning about sad days, not happy days. But in a situation where avru elu v'lo na'anu, in a situation where there's no rain in Israel and they're afraid of a drought, so they're establishing a certain number of fast days to daven to Hashem for rain. So they had a certain number of fast days and they daven for rain and the rain still doesn't come. Lo na'anu, they were not answered by God. And they're really afraid that if the rain doesn't come, the crops are going to be ruined and there's going to be a drought and famine. So what they do is mimatin bimasa uvimatan. They reduce their business. They make it into a national emergency. Bibinyan ubinatia. And not only do they reduce business, but they don't do new construction and they don't do planting. Be'erusin, they don't let people get engaged. Ubinisuin, and in marriages. So during this time of national crisis, when the rain isn't falling, they limit all of these activities. V'tana ala binyan, and the Tana learns what does it mean by construction. Binyan shel simcha, only the kind of building that is done for aesthetics or for happiness. And netiya shel simcha, and only the kind of planting that's done for aesthetics and happiness. Ezehu, I'm on the first wide line. Ezehu binyan shel simcha. What does it mean, construction for the sake of happiness? Zeha boneh beit chatnut libno. Someone who's building it's kind of like a pavilion for a wedding. It's kind of like, you know, one of those big tents in the backyard or some kind of special entertainment hall for the wedding. That's what building for happiness is. Ezohu netiya shel simcha, and what is a planting of simcha? Zeha notea avunaki shel malachim. This is planting an orchard that's kind of like a pleasure garden that kings have. So something that makes you happy to look at and to sit in, but not something that you need. We're going to stop there. I just want to review briefly what the three answers to why it is okay, or why he was not being unreligious, that Rebbe was planting on the day of Purim. The first answer is that it was not his day of Purim. And in his town, it was not forbidden to plant on that day. Purim was either, it was probably was the next day, and he was planting the day before Purim. The second answer is that the Jewish people never accepted not to do malacha on Purim, and therefore planting on Purim is okay. And the third is, even in places where it was considered not permitted to plant on Purim, that only applies to the kind of planting that is for real labor or for sustenance. But netiya shel simcha, planting for the sake of joy or for aesthetics and enjoyment, was permitted on Purim. Have a great day. We'll continue tomorrow.